There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday edition of Busted Open Radio Podcast Edition. I am Ryan McKinnell in for Dave LaGreca on this Friday. And with me, I got my tag team partner, WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, on the podcast edition of Busted Open on this Friday. We are bringing you a very special edition of Spar with LaBar as Justin LaBar joins us and covers the entirety of the week that was in pro wrestling. Lots of good stuff inside. All you got to do is sit back, relax. Let's get it going. Bust it open on a Friday. It is time for Spar with LaBar. And listen, man, we got a lot to get to in the week of pro wrestling. A lot of rumors, a lot of potential good news on the horizon. And I start on the East Coast where I was just at in New York City, Justin. I left on Sunday when the Foo Fighters were doing that concert at MSG. That kind of kicked off the return to live events for New York City. It's also looking like the WWE has plans potentially for later in this summer for Madison Square Garden. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, it looks like they're returning to do TV for the first time in a long time. And it would be, I think, September 10th, the day that we're here in their eye, which would be a Friday SmackDown. That'd be a week after the draft. So, you know, that on paper looks like that'd be a huge show. You know, the roster's reset. You know, you can refresh booking. You know, there should be no excuse of, you know, being booked into a corner or pigeonholed with injuries or what have you. I mean, you basically get to reset and shuffle everybody where you want them to try to set up, you know, the best storylines possible for the remainder of the year. But yeah, being at MSG, which is, you know, a WWE staple. It's the house the McMahons built, some people would say. And also, I mean, they haven't done TV there in a while. They've done some live events. They've done some house shows there. But I mean, you know, they've since pivoted and gone to the Barclays Center when they are doing TV and pay-per-views in New York. MSG is an expensive building to run when you're doing TV, but obviously they are, you know, biting that financial bullet, which I think, again, for the fan, you know, it's not our money, but for the, you know, to have to pay it, but for the fans, it's great because, again, MSG, what it stands for, and MSG is always synonymous with WWE of when they go to MSG, even when they would do Monday Night Raws at MSG, which weren't, you know, they didn't always do them. You know, it wasn't as frequent and maybe as they ran other buildings just because they try to save those back in the day for pay-per-views. And even when they did the MSGs for Raw, it was always a big Raw. You could always say, oh yeah, that one, that was the one where this person returned or this person beat this. It's always a big show. So I think tons of potential and reason to be excited if you're a fan of WWE back in MSG.
Now, you talked about fans or giving back to the fans. This is something I talked about yesterday with Bully Ray on the show in terms of, you know, Cena's return potentially and who would it be and do you stack it at SummerSlam and how much do you give back to the fans and what are you going to do now that the fans are back? Like, Justin, just I'm just curious from your perspective. I feel like the WWE, maybe not above and beyond is the word I want to use, but I feel like they are going to be cognizant and wanting to be giving back as they return to, you know, normalcy, having fans back, MSG, all the things we've been waiting a year and a half for, right? Do you get that feeling that the next year plus is going to be a little bit extra special from the WWE?
Good God, I hope so. I mean, you know, I equate they're in the same position as basically every other entertainment genre that runs off of fans. It's the same thing with movies, same thing with music. There's a lot of albums that got delayed and tours that got held off. There's a lot of movies that got delayed, you know, because, you know, they needed fans. They wanted people in theaters. They wanted people at the venue. So, you know, I would hope that WWE has a few bullets that they set aside and said, look, we just can't fire these until we are back with full crowds. I would hope. And then same thing with people coming back to the roster. You mentioned Cena. I'm not going to claim myself to be Nostradamus. It was just a really kind of just a guess of like, okay, if you want to come back for SummerSlam with fans, what's the biggest realistic matches you could do? And I had been saying for a while, I said, I think the biggest thing you can do is Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar and John Cena versus Roman Reigns. That's the biggest realistic thing you could pull off and do. And I still feel that's where we're going to get for SummerSlam. And that's huge. That is WrestleMania, you know, shenanigans right there. So, I hope that they have a good amount of programming and surprises lined up and ready to go come SummerSlam and beyond for at least for the next year. And hopefully it's not just the next year because we're making up for the pandemic.
Right.
Hopefully it's just, hey, let's just give our audience the best damn thing possible because they deserve it.
Yes.
We need to do it. And oh, by the way, we got some other companies that are popping up around the country that are garnering and taking some of our audience share. So let's step the F up.
Justin, how big is September going to be for the New York, New Jersey fan when you have now WWE Raw going to Madison Square Garden and you have AEW going to Queens, like it is, and not too far apart. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, within the month, you know, like the fan is going to benefit tremendously, right?
The fan is going to be the ultimate winner, but I'll say this, Mark, the month of September, the way you just framed it, the month of September, 2021, We're 3 months away from that, right? That could be one of the months that we look back in the history books and go, this was a big marker for a movement in pro wrestling for a lot of reasons. And it does.
Arthur Ashe Stadium, there's no bad seats.
No, that's first off, you know, applause to AEW. That's huge. And you're right. And that stadium getting a pro wrestling show, getting Dynamite, that's huge. September is going to be a pivotal month, I think, when we look back in the history books, when they're teaching history and when they're teaching pro wrestling history and social studies in 2030, we're going to look back and Professor LaBar is going to be highlighting homework about September 2021, because, I mean, you're going to have a big movement by AEW. Working that show. And that's going to be another pillar for AEW to say, look, we're here. We're not going anywhere to sell out and work a venue like that in New York City. You're going to have WWE, hopefully, again, returning to the Garden. Hopefully they're going to be putting their best foot forward. September is also the start of the fall season. You have NFL football. September is always every year for television in general, but especially for pro wrestling. It is a competitive, all hands on deck, put your best foot forward, because you are competing with, you know, the rest of the world of entertainment. So I think all those things said, and then not to dismiss the Ring of Honor's impact, I think by the time we get to September, there is going to be so much developing in the world of pro wrestling / sports entertainment. I don't know what the results ultimately going to be, but just by all these things, this confluence of things going on in that month, this is going to be a pivotal month in the history of pro wrestling and the return of normalcy, so to speak, and the next step to the future.
Well, I'm excited.
Justin LaBar,
as a fan. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Mark. Go ahead. Yeah, I was just saying we're here with Justin LaBar.
As a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I see all the time that we don't always comment on is what's good for the fan, and this was just an opportunity to do that.
And for the fans, Mark, I'm excited the month prior. AEW Rampage here in Pittsburgh.
And I will be there in full throat, as they say in the football industry.
I love it.
AEW Rampage, that's right, the end of August. A lot of exciting stuff to close out the summer and start the fall there in pro wrestling.
Justin, I wanted to ask you about a story. I don't know if it's exactly exciting, but it certainly had WWE fans and really pro wrestling fans in their feelings over the last 24 hours. That is, of course, the story of Kenese Mobley, the newest Raw hire for the writer's room, creative story that, again, a lot of people have been talking about. She went on that Asian Not Asian podcast, talked about how she didn't know anything about pro wrestling before she got hired, called Bobby Lashley Bobby Ashley. Talked about how she was making three times as much money at WWE Creative as she was at this nonprofit. Listen, Justin, she seems like a nice woman. I'm glad that, you know, that they're thinking outside the box and hiring comedians and other people. But when you go on a podcast like that, say you don't know anything about pro wrestling, draw attention to the company the way she did. What do you make of this whole story?
First off, I mean,
pretty much.
I'm trying to prioritize which thought I want to deliver out here first.
Don't be politically correct, please. Don't.
Yeah. First off, on the making three times as she was on the previous nonprofit, I hope she's saving a few of those paychecks because I got a bad feeling this might not end well for her.
Yeah.
Look, to the fact that she doesn't know about pro, don't be mad at her. That first right. off, you have to be mad at WWE. That's if WWE is saying, oh, we're looking to hire, we want you to understand our audience and our demo, but you don't need to understand pro wrestling.
Right. What?
I don't even.
That's bad message.
I mean, that's some wicked wrestling money ball right there. but I do blame her. I can be mad at her as a fan. Yeah, to go on to a – first off, did she clear that with anybody to go on a podcast? Did she say to the Office of the Communications, hey, I'm going to go do this podcast? I you know, I don't know. And then secondly, to go on there and to say – and then to give examples of who is currently the champion. I don't know if he's Bobby Ashley or Bobby Lashley. I mean, that –
And I'm sure she was trying to be funny, but –
Well, she missed the mark.
She missed it.
She missed the mark. I just don't. That's just embarrassing. It's just a terrible look. It's just especially of all the times in the situation right now where WWE is under fire for mass releases, for when they have record television deals. When they're under fire for the quality of the programming, for the viewership numbers, you got networks seeming to fight over who's getting a Hell in a Cell and who's not, and who's, you know, like this, the timing couldn't really be worse to have somebody who's coming on saying, I'm a brand new writer making X amount and I'm a comedy writer but I'm being put in this position. Like, it's okay to sometimes try to grab from outside of the box to get new, fresh perspectives. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, pro wrestling, the genre of pro wrestling / sports entertainment is something that is so special. It's so magical. There's nothing, I mean, you know, you can compare live theater, you can make all these trite comparisons, but at the end of the day, it is something so unique. And to bring all the outsiders in, I mean, it's okay, one or two outsiders to bring a fresh perspective, fine. But it seems like there are more people than not that are coming in that just don't know headlock from wristlock, don't know a heel bad guy from the heel in their shoe. I don't know. It's just embarrassing. It's a bad look, and I don't know her, but this is not, I don't think this is going to end well for her, just my opinion.
And you know, I thought that they were in the process of cleaning house and that they weren't going to hire anybody right now. That's what I was told, that's what I heard, and now here we are, we get somebody in just a few weeks later. And now they're hiring people and they're getting paid three times more than they ever made and yada, yada, yada. Come on, get out of here.
Yeah, if you're one of these talents that just got, if you're one of the several talents that have been cut in the last few months, talents who are, you know, who did nothing wrong, who are showing up on time, they're trying to pitch ideas, they're doing whatever's asked. If you're asked to go out and lose on main event, if you're asked to do whatever, if you're just doing your thing and you're one of those talents that's being told, because as we're here and they get called and they get told budget cuts that we're cutting because, and then you got to, and then you're sitting at home and you're on your 90-day non-compete. So all you can do is sit at home or be at the gym, and you're hearing a new hire that apparently was able, there was room in the budget for her. And we just didn't have time in her budget hire to give her a class of who Bobby Lashley or Bobby Ashley was. or who anything else was. I mean, that's infuriating. You're trying to pitch creative, and creative's got nothing for you, and there's budget cuts, but creative's got room for this? I mean, I don't know.
You know. But you hire somebody with more money that don't know the business.
Right. And that's the biggest thing for me, you guys. It's like I have no issue. Like the WWE's always look for people outside of the pro wrestling world. They don't want people to be too big sometimes of pro wrestling fans, which I kind of understand, right? But the optics of Mobley going out, and you kind of alluded to it, right, Justin? When you have these cuts, when the social kind of landscape is what it is, when people are still, you know, recovering from COVID, whatever the case may be, right? Like I'm sure Kenise is a nice person, works at a nonprofit, right? Seemingly has a great sense of humor. She's an artist. She's a comedian. I respect that, right? What I can't respect is you saying that you're making three times more money than you made at your old job and you're not as invested in this new job as seemingly a million other people would be. It's the kind of not appreciating where you're at. Do you appreciate the fact that you're making three times as much money? I don't give a shit if you're milking cows. Like, I don't care what we're talking about. If you're making three times the money, wouldn't you want to make sure that you're, you know, cemented in that place? When do you want to make sure you know the job?
Abso-freaking-lutely, Ryan. And you're right. I don't know Kenise. So again, just so nobody takes quotes onto social media or sound bites out of context here. This is not I know nothing about her. If she's a lovely person, great. And I'm not wishing that things end bad, but I'm just giving my opinion that I just think this is a bad look. This just seems like it's destined for a bad result. But yeah, with anything, you know, we're taking it personally because we're on a pro wrestling show and because we're pro wrestling fans and to the fullest extent for Mark, it is his livelihood. There is a sense of disrespect. I don't care what it is. If I move on from the career I'm in now and I get hired by a cow farmer to come in here, you're going to help milk cows and you're going to make three times as much as you're doing right now, being on Sirius XM and doing the other stuff. You know what? I'm going to learn. Which tit do I milk first? Well, I'm going to learn a little bit about the cow milking process. If I'm going to get paid three times of what I'm doing now, I'm going to learn. I'm going to Google a little bit. I'm going to read a little book about cow milking. All right. I'm not going to just go onto the farm, look at the cow, and then go on a podcast and say, I don't know how to get this milk. Are we getting chocolate milk? Are we getting white milk? What's happening here? I'm on this cow farm. I'm making three times of what I used to do talking Sirius XM, but damn, these cows. There's a lot of cows. Moo. That's what this looks like. That's what this sounds like.
That's what it looks like.
Did you know you can only milk female cows? I just found that out. No. That was a crazy story. Hey, as we talk about creative,
you don't want to drink
Justin,
milk in the pool.
No, you don't. Those are wise words from the sage, world's strongest man, Mark Henry. We're here with Justin Labar for Spar with Labar. And listen, Justin, as we talk about creative, John Moxley, Mr. Paquette, right? Mr. Renee wow. Young. He was on the Oral Session podcast this week as Renee, you know, is taking some time off. Congrats on the new baby as well. But Moxley, Justin, had this to say on his experiences with creative at WWE, and I thought this was really interesting because you hear this, I don't want to say a lot from talent that leaves, but they certainly have their opinions on creative. Here's Moxley's opinion, Justin. He says, as far as what to put in and what not, it's kind of like a wrestling match or like a promo. That's why WWE promos fucking suck, because they jam 5,000 fucking words in there that aren't necessary. Say what you want to say, mean what you want to say, get your point across. I'm going to beat your ass on Saturday because I don't like you. Boom, done. Now he goes on to say more. He says, and sometimes in a match, it's like, okay, we planned out all these fucking spots, but really, what is the story? What are we trying to get across? You're the good guy. I'm the bad guy. You're big. You're small. You're tall. You're short. Whatever the contrast of styles of the story we're telling, why do we have all this? Sometimes you just got to look at it and go, we don't need all this extra shit. Justin, why is John Moxley not the head of everywhere for creative? Because when he speaks, I listen, and it all makes perfect sense.
Maybe have Kenise Mobley spend a week with him. That could be an interesting onboarding process. I agree with him. Look, John Moxley, he's a great communicator. I was a fan of his prior to him being Dean Ambrose. I was psyched as hell when he came on to FCW, and I was like, all right, I want to see this guy John Moxley, you know, in this environment. Obviously, it got, you know, very sterilized, but I agree with him. Yeah. And again, it just goes back to just general communication. Anyways, don't use 9 words when you can use 6. Don't use 6 words when you can use 3. If you're an artist, don't put extra lines for no reason. Draw the damn picture. It's very, very common sense. It's straight A to B. And so I agree with everything that he said here in this in his interview with his wife. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it seems Mark could obviously speak the best to it. He was there. You know, it just seems like I know there are creative and people who love pro wrestling that are in the creative writing department at WWE. But it seems like a great idea starts here, but by the time it gets around to the end of the table, it seems like it's not recognizable. It's completely different, and it's morphed, and it's lost any substance and absolute flavor more times than not. And too many cooks in the kitchen. And I know there's a lot of programming to turn out, so it can't just be Vince McMahon at his pool with two or three other people anymore like it was back in the day. But I think there needs to be some kind of a happy medium. The process, I think, has to change at some point. It cannot be this many cooks in the kitchen. I think there needs to be more emphasis for the talent to be able to do it. You know, we go back to this. I know we talked about it. Go back to that WrestleMania rain delay. Good God, what a beautiful happy accident blast from the past. That 30 minutes was where it's like, holy hell, the weather is doing this. We have no control over the weather. Okay, are you camera ready? Get on this mark. Sell your match.
Yeah.
And what do you know? The guys and girls, when asked to say something on their own, were able to do it. And by God, it was some of the most entertaining promos we have gotten in recent memory. And
It was the best.
Yeah, I know we have billion-dollar TV deals. I understand from Vince's perspective all the way down that, like, you want to have some control and know-how of what's going to be said, because if a sponsor comes to you and says, what did they just say? And did you know they're going to say that? I understand wanting to have some control and you got to be protective, but at the same time, there's got to be a certain level of trust. Pro wrestling is built on trust in the ring and with the performers. There's going to have to be some trust there. If you're paying these guys and girls what you're paying, you're going to have to just give them some trust that they know what to say, how to say it, and do it for their characters, and do it and still be within the boundaries of what's allowed within rating system or within what's acceptable. It is just far too sterile. And John Moxley said it very well in the quote on Oral Sessions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're here with Justin Labar for Spar with Labar. Justin, next story we got up. This is a bit of really good news for a lot of pro wrestling fans. We got a legend returning to the ring, Mickey James, announcing her intent to wrestle again. And this time it's going to be for the NWA, and it's going to come at their 73rd anniversary event this August. But this comes with a cool bit of a stipulation, and we got some audio here that I'm going to let the listeners check out real quick before we get to you, Justin. Mickey James is asking some of the best professional wrestlers in the world to send in their tapes and promos to her because she's looking for opponent, which is really cool. Check this out. Mickey James talking about her upcoming match at NWA's 73rd anniversary event in August.
And August 29th is NWA 73, the anniversary show. And so on the anniversary show, I am announcing that I am going to wrestle at NWA 73, and I'm looking for an opponent. And so I want you to tell Billy who you want to see me wrestle. Who wants to wrestle me at NWA 73? That is the big question.
Big opportunity, Justin Labar, for some woman out there to take on Mickey James at the 73rd anniversary event of the NWA. I mean, base level, it's just good to have Mickey James back. But I also like the story that might be developing with this NWA match as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I love Mickey James. She's a gem. She's a treasure. And what is what's exciting about this is, again, this day and age is that basically, from what we've seen, to use the what's the forbidden door phrase, what's great about this is that really, other than WWE NXT, you know, it's conceivable and possible to think that any woman potentially from any company or any woman unsigned any company could be in this position. I mean, Billy Corgan has shown every other company has basically realized that they don't need to have
right
lockdown border walls. That they're willing, you know, and which is a good thing, ultimately, for business and for the fans. So really, other than WWE and NXT, we know that that's not going to happen. It's exciting because there's a lot of potential, a lot of hypotheticals are on the table of who it could be, of who they could, give you a fresh matchup with. And that's exciting. And so I'm all for this.
My question is, who would you like to see, Ryan?
Who would you like to see, Justin?
Who would I? Justin, I'll throw you a name.
In any company.
Well, that's the thing.
This might
be boring because she's already a part of the NWA and she's a big part of the scene already. But Thunder Rosa, the year she's had the match with Britt Baker, Mickey James, Thunder Rosa, just from like sort of a dream match promotional. You know, Mickey's been part of WWE for so long, and Thunder Rosa is a veteran in her own right, right? But she's just finally, I feel like now, starting to get the credit that she deserves, right? I love the idea of Thunder Rosa and Mickey James, but Justin, I don't know if they're going to go that way, because I with the way she's sending out that sort of note and that call out to the women in the professional wrestling world, I feel like we might be in for a swerve. Who would you like to see?
Justin, I'm going to throw mine out there. Serena Deeb. Fire. Absolute hot fire. Her and Mickey James, they would tear it up.
All of these are good choices. So I look at it as, look, Mickey's still in phenomenal shape, but obviously Father Time wins against all. So I look at it as, okay, what's something, you know, maybe Mickey only has a couple more years that she's going to be in the ring. So, like, what is something we can capture now while we can? So, you know, I look at things like, you know, and I also look at the promos and potential of just the dynamics. You know, look at a Dr. Britt Baker, and look at how Britt and her heel personality, while she still is a heel, because inevitably she's going to be a babyface later again. The promos and the disrespect that could be there, that could really build the animosity. I think, you know, if you could, you try to have a swerve to this. Find one woman who you want to announce that's going to give some attention and draw that Mickey's going to battle. But maybe after that match, there's a second woman that makes claim and comes. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to be as straightforward as here's the woman, here's the match, that's it. I think you can have, you know, name somebody, whether it's a Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb, Deonna Purrazzo, who, you know, name somebody who you want and that's going to draw and it's going to garner some attention, but then don't let that be it. Don't let that be the end of the story. Have a little swerve at the end. Have somebody else who wants to make their presence known. And, oh, Mickey, you're out here, you know, calling out, looking for opponents. You know, why does it have to, you know, I don't know. I want to see more depth. I want to see more attention to women's stories like this, where it doesn't have to be one and done, one dimensional, where we can have, you know, we can have some cliffhangers.
Well, Justin, I'm going to get you out of here on this, and we always appreciate the time with Justin Labar for Spar with Labar. It's a bit of a sad note, but a life well lived. We don't know exactly what's happening right now. Paul Orndorff, according to his son, is not in the best of health. He shared a video on social media that folks saw, and Paul definitely seems to be in not the best of shape. Can you tell us anything about that and your thoughts on the whole situation? I know we're all thinking about the Orndorff family and Paul.
Yeah, all I can say to it is I watched the video. It's very sad.
All
I can say is obviously sad. Best, you know, all the thoughts and prayers to he and his family. I watched it, and I will say, after I was done watching it, I wish I hadn't watched it. Not because I don't want to feel and be compassionate and empathize and sympathize towards the family, but like, I want to remember
him the way he was.
Yeah, I when I watched it, I was sad and I was unhappy that I watched it.
Like, man, I I'm overly sensitive, and I've seen a lot of death at an early age and even up until now, and like, that was the way that it looked when my dad passed. Like, watching him not be in control of his mental faculties was hard for me, because I remember what that looked like and felt like. And I my thoughts and prayers go out to their family, because it's, man, that the brain is a unpredictable, you know, thing. And for him not to be in control of his faculties is, it's a painful way to go out, because we get to see stuff like we saw. And, you know, I wish I hadn't seen it either, Ryan.
Well, I'll tell you this, you guys, and as we talk about Paul, and again, we all share our thoughts and prayers for the Orndorff family and Paul. Part of the reason it hurts so much is because we remember WrestleMania 1, right? We remember Paul Orndorff. We remember this massive figure, but at least we had that. Orndorff, one of the best of his generation, and we remember him because he was so damn good. So we're going to keep that positivity rolling. We're going to keep our thoughts and prayers out to the Orndorff family. And Justin, man, I want to thank you again for joining us on a Friday. This was the first time I got to talk to you, man. I had a blast. And yeah, man, as always, thanks for joining us and giving us a few minutes on a Friday.
Thanks, guys. I'll take you over to La Greca anytime. Come on back, Ryan, every Friday.
Wow. Wow.
You guys are trying to get me in a bunch of deep shit today.
We're going to have to find a new person to spar with next week, along with
Ryan,
having a
how's that,
having
how's
a
that gonna
new
work?
Producer. So we're gonna lose Ed and Ryan and Ed and Justin in the same week? Jeez.
La Greca's he's going to be sparring with me once he hears that.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby LaSpisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.